Very warm welcome to you. I'm very pleased that this morning we have Steve Philpott from Whittlesea. Thank you very much for coming along and leading this morning's service, Steve. We look forward to what the Lord has to say through you.
Well, good morning. I'll pass on the thoughts and the love and regards from those at Whittlesea. It's been 4 years since I was here, and you suddenly realise that's a little while. Time flies by, but it's good to be back here again. Good to meet with you. Just to get us thinking, then, to have our minds in a helpful place as we begin. Just the first verse and a half, really, from Hebrews chapter 12. We've had in chapter 11 examples of many people from the Bible, people from the past, who had lived this life, putting their trust in God's promises, but not seeing all of those promises come to pass. So chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. That's a really helpful thing to have in mind as we begin, that we, like many before us, day by day, follow the Lord Jesus. We need to throw off, to put aside sin, things that hold us back, and fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's pray that for each other as we begin. Heavenly Father, it is our joy to come together this morning. It's a delight to meet as believers, to meet in the name of Jesus. It's a delight to come and worship. We thank you for the opportunity to do that, and we pray that as we do, that you will help us to continue fighting against sin in our hearts and in our lives. Help us to throw off things that drag us back in our walk with Jesus. Help us, we pray, to have our eyes fixed on him, fixed on the one who is our Saviour, the one who has gone before us, the one in whom all our hope is. We pray that you'll help us to do that. Encourage us, we pray, through your word. Encourage us as we sing your praise together. We ask for your blessing and that your name would be honoured. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the first song we're going to sing together, God sent his son. They called him Jesus, is how it begins. And the words go on to say, because he lives, which he does, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone, because the future is in his hands. It's a wonderful truth. Let's sing that together.
Thank you.
to sing and to know, isn't it? Life is worth living because Jesus lives. When we know him, it makes all the difference. He is everything. That's a wonderful truth. Now, I had something that I could have said to the children if there were some here, but it's helpful, I think, to talk about anyway. So, think back to the Olympics. Which sport did you like, I wonder? Which sport do you think you might have had a chance at if you'd have had a go? The sport that I used to be quite good at, and I can still sort of do, is the high jump. I wonder if you saw the high jump. There were two men that shared the gold. It was quite incredible. An Italian man and a Qatari man. Quite exciting to watch. I used to be good at the high jump. I can still sort of do it, but my knees can't take it, basically. So, but I enjoyed it. There were athletes competing, weren't they, at the Olympics? Many athletes competing at all sorts of things. They all desperately wanted to win. They wanted their training and their hard work to pay off. And I don't really know what it's like to be one of those elite athletes, but they're training almost every day, their diet's controlled, but their life is controlled around their sport. But most of them don't win. Most of them don't win. And that's okay, because only one can win in each event, but they pour all this work in. Back to Hebrews chapter 12, where we began. Christians, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. As Christians, we are like a bunch of athletes too. We're not going for a record, though. We're not going for the gold, in a sense. We're not going for the "I must beat everybody else." What we're going for is the finish. To keep going to the end. That's what counts. Becoming a Christian is absolutely important and needed. But it's keeping going to the end that counts. It's keeping going to the finish line. It's the marathon, not the sprint. And so we want to keep trusting Jesus every day. We've just sung in that song in the last verse, when death gives way to victory. That's what it is for a Christian. That's real. We go to the end, and then after the end of this life, there is victory. There's victory in Jesus Christ now, but full victory, final victory. Jesus already has the victory. He has been through death. He is there now in that place of victory, and he has won the victory for every Christian. So Christian, we are athletes, and our task is to keep going day by day. And we do that together. That's why we're here this morning, isn't it? We've met together because we need to encourage each other to keep going, to remind each other of truth from God's word, to help each other turn to him in our hearts, in our praise, to keep going. We have so many examples in God's word. We have examples among each other of those who kept going for many years, of those who've gone to glory before us. We want to keep going. So are you still following Jesus today? That's a good question to ask. Let's be those that finish, that spur each other on. Well, we're going to sing again then. Abba Father, let me be yours and yours alone. It's number one in the Sons of Fellowship. It's a prayer. Father, keep my heart fixed on you. Thank you. to that. Well, let's pray together. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you we can say Abba, Father, the child speaking to their father. Thank you that you are not a God who is far off. You are the Almighty. You are holy. You are the God who is the consuming fire. You are the one that we revere. You are great. You are to be praised above all others. And you are Father. Oh, we thank you for that truth. And you are Father. You are a Father that loves your children in the ways that we know earthly fathers love their children. Oh, we thank you, Father, that you care so much, so deeply for your people. For us believers here this morning, that's us. Thank you for your care. And we pray for each other. We pray that we will grow in our faith, each of us. If we've been a Christian for many years, maybe we know many things. We have a good understanding of your word. Please help us to continue growing. Continue growing in our maturity, in our knowledge and closeness to Jesus Christ. Father, if we've just started out, please help us to grow. Help us to understand more of the gospel, to be more firmly rooted in it, more clear and confident in our hope in Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who's done everything for us. Oh, Father, we ask that you will bless us, teach us, draw us closer. Father, give us a right attitude of heart, we pray, to each other, to the world around us. We pray for the local witness of this church, your people here living in different places around. Father, I pray that you would bless their daily lives as they mix with neighbours, with family, with friends, with colleagues. Please make their lives a sweet fragrance of Jesus Christ. Please would you show others around them through their actions, through their words, something of your love, something of the beauty of the truth. Father, even when the world around doesn't like how we live, perhaps because our lives make others feel condemned for their sin, Father, we pray that you would soften hearts, that you would help us to be faithful and do what is right, and bring opportunities to speak truth and to speak grace into hearts that are perhaps hurting or fearful. Father, we pray that the work that goes on here in the Sunday school when the children are here, that you would bless that. Father, we pray that there might be children and families in this village town that come, that want to be taught your word. We pray for that as an opportunity. Pray for the Wednesday Coffee Club. Father, we thank you that these things are able to start again. And we pray that again there would just be a good core of regulars coming, and that would be a great opportunity to share lives and to share the gospel specifically. Father, please bless these things. Pray for this church as they search for it and pray for a pastor. Father, you know them as a church. You know who would be suitable for them. We pray that you would provide, Father, that they might have good, regular food week by week, good preaching of your word, helpful spiritual leadership and shepherding. Father, would you provide? And we think of the national church too. We think about our brothers and sisters all around the nation. Father, in some places we can see blessing, in other places it seems really hard. We ask that you would strengthen your people, keep them faithful, keep them speaking truth in love, we pray, in every situation. As a nation, as we continue to slide further from your good laws and from what is right, we ask for your mercy. And we know the answer is not politics, although we pray for our politicians. We pray for wisdom for them. We pray for the few who are believers that you would help them to be an influence for good. But Father, we know that it's the gospel that we need. It's your power at work in hearts that changes things. And so we pray for that. Father, we look to the wider world, for the nations of the world. We think of nations vying for influence and power, and it's the same as it has always been. And you are God in heaven. And you look at the nations and the men of this world who think they are strong, who think they're in control, and we hear that you laugh. You laugh at any who shake their fist at you and somehow believe that things are in their hands. Oh Father, we pray that we would have humble hearts that acknowledge you as King. Help us to trust that you still today are doing your will. You are working that out in this world. Father, we want to pray particularly for the nation of Afghanistan. We know that things will change there. We know there'll be things that we don't think are right. We pray for people there, particularly those who are now fearful, those who are in fear of their lives. Father, we pray you would protect, particularly your people, believers who are in danger. Give them wisdom to know what to do. Give them wisdom to know when it's right to flee and when it's right to stay. We pray that your church would not be gone from Afghanistan, but there would be believers remaining who are able to encourage one another. We pray that you would work in this situation. Would you bring people to faith? Oh Father, we thank you that we can lay all these things before you and know that you care and you are able. And so we ask for your blessing. We ask that you would bring honour and glory to your name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's read God's word. So Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We're going to read a good chunk of it from verse 21 to 45. It's the verses towards the end, 14 to 42, that we're going to look at in a moment in more detail. But we'll read this bigger section. So it's Mark chapter 1. We'll begin at verse 21. This is early in Jesus' ministry. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant, or, we'll come back to this later, as many translations have it, Jesus was filled with compassion. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away once more with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Wonderful scenes as we see Jesus in his early ministry there. We'll come back to that after we've sung again. It's number 97 in Songs of Fellowship. "Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do." And there might be things you think of in your life, things that are outside of your control, things that you're unsure how they're going to go. Maybe the search for a pastor as a church. Maybe you're facing a new stage of life, perhaps uncertainty in health. We come and trust and depend on our Father and place these things into his hands. Number 97. Introduce a question. Last summer we were on a family walk. You remember the blazing hot days we had last August? I can't remember which week it was. I think it was early on in August. And we were down in Sussex and we were going for this walk. It was a lovely walk and it was a bright, sunny day. And we took water with us, quite a lot, I thought, but we're only halfway on the walk and the water had run out. COVID meant everywhere was shut and we were getting desperate. It was hot enough that it was a real problem that we had run out of water. Who could we ask? Where could we go? Who would be willing to help? We were supposed to be keeping away from each other and everywhere was shut. Think of yourself walking down a street in a busy city, perhaps in Peterborough, down Bridge Street towards the Cathedral Square, and you pass somebody, a homeless person sat on the side of the road. Maybe they're playing guitar with an upturned hat and a sign asking for money. Maybe they're reaching out to passers-by. And it's an awkward moment, perhaps, for you. What do you do? Have I got time to stop? Do I want to give something? Do I think that's the appropriate thing to do anyway? Is it better just to walk over on the other side and avoid the awkwardness? Who will help them? Where can we get real help? Who has the heart that wants to help? Then we think about ourselves and our own sin, our own spiritual needs, my role, my failings. Would God help me? Can I even consider going to Him in the state I'm in? Well, we're going to look at these verses where this man who has leprosy comes to Jesus. And in one sense, it's very simple. Two men meet. And yet it shows us something so profound, something so significant, something big. And if you're a Christian sat here this morning, here is the simple, bold truth again. And we pray that it will warm our hearts and draw us to our Saviour again as we hear the challenge, as we see here. If you're not a Christian, or if you're not sure, then this truth is for you. Truth about Jesus Christ, who He is, and who you are. This is for you. So we're going to simply look at the two men, verses 40 to 42. Two men, the unclean one who comes to Jesus, and Jesus the Saviour. The unclean one then, first of all, his condition. A leper came to him, a man with leprosy. What is leprosy? It's an infectious skin disease. It's caused by bacteria. It starts with patches on the skin, and it can spread and cover the whole body when it gets bad. It can affect the nerves too. And stop feeling. So you can injure yourself and not know that you've injured yourself, and that can be really dangerous. Today, there are around 200,000 cases per year in the world of leprosy. Only 30 years ago, there were about 5 million cases. So, huge change in the number because it can be effectively treated with medicinal drugs. That's what leprosy is. And because it is an infectious disease that can be passed on from person to person, there were regulations for dealing with it given to Israel, to God's people, all those years ago. Very practical regulations of how to deal with an infectious disease when living in a community together. And the regulations were that the infected skin patch would be examined. And if it was only on the surface, 7 days were given, it was examined again, and if it was fading, then there would be a further 7 days of isolation for it to clear up, and the person would be declared clean. But if it was deeper than just the skin surface, if a raw red patch developed on the skin, then the person was declared unclean. If the infection had taken root, if you like, that's when they had to have torn clothes, let the hair hang loose, cover the upper lip, perhaps like a mask to stop breathing something over others. I'm not sure. I don't know if it can happen like that with leprosy. and the person had to call out unclean. That person had to live away from the community, outside of the housing estate, if you like. Labelled unclean, pushed away from everyone else. How do you feel? Well, in some ways we know, don't we? Some of you maybe know more than others. We've lived like this for the last couple of years. Infectious condition. Isolation. Don't come near. Stay away from others. We've learned to fear others in that sense. They might be infectious. That community in some ways has been prevented. Although we're so thankful for all the efforts that have gone into trying to avoid that and try and maintain community even with trying to keep away from each other. Maybe you have been alone for many months. Maybe it's others in your family, parents. Felt unsafe going out and doing anything. Maybe you've had COVID and others have been wary of you for a long time afterwards. Unclean, infectious, isolated. That was life for this man. He was a leper. But I want us also to see and to think about how sin in the Bible is seen in that same way. Sin is seen and treated in the way temple worship was set up as something that needs to be kept away. You can't come near to God who is holy as a sinner. You can't come into his presence because you are unclean. You need to be cleansed. You need to come to the priest who goes to God for you. You come with a sacrifice that is a picture of cleansing. When a leper was cured, as well as shaving the head and washing the clothes and getting rid of anything that could be infected, they had to make a sacrifice of cleansing. Two birds, one was killed, the other was stained in the blood of that bird and then set free. The picture was carrying away the uncleanness. Then there was a further 7 days of monitoring just to make sure that the infection had gone. And then there was a guilt offering. Interesting, isn't it? There was a recognition that the person who was coming to be declared clean of a skin disease had also to come with a guilt offering. There was always sin that needed to be dealt with. It was never just about the surface disease. And so the context of Mark chapter 1 also gives us this picture. Yes, there is leprosy. Yes, there is a skin disease. But there is always a heart condition to be concerned about too. Jesus has done many things. We've read, haven't we? He cast out evil spirits. He was healing illnesses. And then in chapter 2, just after the passage we read, somebody is brought to him who is lame. Somebody who has a desperate need, you could say, a physical need. And yet what does Jesus say to him? Your sin is forgiven. Jesus explicitly points to the big problem, the real need, the thing that needs dealing with more, the thing that is deeper, the thing that is true of all of us. All of these other things are symptoms of the curse that sin brought into this world. Our sin brought this curse, and the curse is the reason for leprosy, the reason for COVID, for all of the different illnesses and troubles that we face. Sin is the root. And so a guilt offering was needed when a leper came to be cleansed. And in Mark's gospel, sin is the real problem we are pointed to. And so this man, he comes to Jesus as the unclean one, yes, because of his leprosy. But first and foremost, he comes as a sinner. In his uncleanness, he needs Jesus to be merciful to him as a sinner, as to you and I. Our need is the same, isn't it? Can I ask you to consider that, to accept that to confess that you and I also have disobedient hearts towards God. That we by nature go our way, not his. That above any other needs that you may have, and perhaps very serious ones, you need forgiveness from God and his cleansing. We may not have leprosy or COVID, but we are unclean ones before God because of our sin. So, the unclean one comes. That's his condition. But how does he come? He comes humbly. He comes humbly. The man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. What attitude does this man come to Jesus with? He came like this, kneeling. How does it seem when you kneel down like this? Well, you're below, aren't you? You're looking up, reaching up. You're putting yourself under the person you're coming to. You're submissive. You're the weak one in that encounter. That's how he came. He came humbly. Jesus, I'm in your hands. That was the feeling. That was the sense, wasn't it? He begged him, pleading, pouring out his great need, his desire. Independence. He wasn't concerned about what everybody else was thinking. How they would think of him coming and kneeling down and looking weak, perhaps. He wasn't concerned. Only about what Jesus would answer. So how do you come to Jesus today? Is there anything like this in my attitude of heart as we come before him? Do you come with your head held high, proud of what you are? Is your sense that you want to avoid looking like the one who is in need here? When proud people came to Jesus, his response was that he came to heal the sick. He came to deal with those who are unclean. He didn't come to spend his time on those who want to argue that they are well. It's important that all of us hear the warning of the danger of pride. The danger of pride, of measuring myself against my standards and deciding I'm okay. That's foolishness. If you know you're an unclean sinner, then you do come on your knees. Don't try and bring your own good deeds or your record of service or the reasons, the excuses why you are like you are. No, we bring nothing but our uncleanness as we come to Jesus. This man came humbly. Do we? He also came in faith. He came in faith. If you are willing, you can make me clean. He doesn't say, Jesus, could you perhaps try to make me clean? He doesn't say, I wonder if you might be able to. He's definite. If you will, you can. He has faith. He believes that Jesus can heal him. Such a big question, isn't it? Who can help? Who can heal? And the answer is, of course, Jesus can. This man knows enough to believe. Maybe he's seen Jesus in action. Maybe he's just heard what he's been doing. But he sees Jesus himself and he believes that Jesus can make him clean. Think of that classic scene on a flight. Somebody's taken ill and the captain puts out a call. Is there a doctor on board? Could you make yourself known to one of the cabin crew? The question is not, can you help? But are you willing? Are you willing to say, yes, I'm a doctor, I'll help? Now, of course, it's possible a doctor can't help. We know that a doctor can't necessarily help in every medical emergency. But the assumption is the doctor is trained to do exactly this. So the question is not, can you, but are you willing? Are you willing to step forward? And that's the sense here. That's what this man is asking. So how do we come to Jesus? How do you ask him to help? How is it that you pray to him? I've just talked about pride, but there is an opposite danger too, isn't there? We can feel too unworthy. We can feel not ready. We can fear to come to Jesus because maybe he won't want to help me. Maybe my heart's not right. I haven't done enough yet. I can't come in the state I'm in. There's a problem in that thinking, and it's this. It's all focused on us, on me, on you. I can't come because of me. This man believed that Jesus was a saviour who could help, and so he came. And that is the faith that we are invited to have, to come to the Saviour who can forgive and cleanse. That the focus should not be on me and what I am like, but on him and who he is. We need to acknowledge what we are like so that we come humbly. But our focus is not on ourselves. It is on Jesus Christ. We don't come proud, but we do come believing and knowing that Jesus can cleanse. So that's the man. He's unclean. He comes humbly and he comes with faith. Who does he come to? He comes to the Saviour. There is a Saviour to come to. That's the good news of Mark's Gospel. That is good news, isn't it? There is a Saviour to come to. Well, how does he receive this man? And how does he receive any sinner? Well, think back to that picture of walking down the street in a city, perhaps Peterborough, passing a homeless person calling out. How do you respond? What's in your heart? Well, how does Jesus respond in that situation to this man? I want to just read from that verse again from the older NIV version. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Now, just the comments on the difference between those translations. So the more recent NIV translation says filled with indignation. And the reason it says that is because there is one manuscript of the many that has that wording. And the judgments of the translators for the latest version of the NIV is that although that's just the one manuscript, and there are many that say compassion, it seems in their view more likely, in terms of the wording change, that it was indignation originally and then changed to compassion. That's their judgment. But most other versions use filled with compassion as the NIV used to. And I think it fits with the context of Mark, and we know that it's also consistent with what we're shown of Jesus in other places. So I will continue to use that translation, knowing that what we therefore see is true. If it were to be filled with indignation, that indignation would possibly be at the curse of sin and its effects, an indignation at the effects of sin, possibly could be indignation at the man's question, rather than simply trusting that Jesus will help. But I think it's most helpful to read it with the filled with compassion translation, and that's what I want to do now. And we know from Scripture this is true of Jesus. He was filled with compassion. And this is precious because Jesus was moved by this man. He was moved when he saw his uncleanness. His innermost response, his heart, is for this man. He's for him. He doesn't hesitate, wondering, should he? Calculating the man's condition, his worthiness. No, his response is to be moved towards the man, filled with compassion. He looked and he loved. That was his response. And the exciting thing here is this is not just Jesus the man. This is the very heart of God being displayed through his Son. In Hebrews 1, we are told Jesus is the very image of God, the exact representation. He's the shining out of God's character. And so as we see Jesus have compassion towards this man, we see the very heart of God towards unclean sinners. This is a lovely picture. Would Jesus help me? Yes, he would. Yes, and always yes. His heart is for the unclean sinner who comes broken. So what would Jesus do if it was him walking past that needy, unclean person, the picture of the homeless person asking for help? Well, he wouldn't be thinking, have I got time? He wouldn't be thinking, well, really, I need to go and do my shopping. All the things that we know would be sort of fighting for our attention. Jesus' heart is to go straight to the needy person and to help. Jesus feels compassion. But he speaks hope as well. He speaks hope. The man has asked him a question. I know you can heal me, but will you? Are you willing? Jesus' answer, I am willing. Be clean. I will, of course, my precious child. That's the sense of that. I will. It's the answer that promises more, isn't it? I will. This is important for us because God's promises are what we have in his word. They are what we trust in. We come in faith to Jesus Christ and we have God's promises. His I will to us. In John chapter 6, just to pick some examples, Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. In John's first letter, he writes, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleansing of the unclean one. I will. We come in faith. God's promises to us, his I will to you. We trust God's word. As we come in faith, what we're doing is receiving God's promises and believing them. We're taking God on his word. That's what faith is. Yes, it's a big thing, because we're trusting our whole self to him, and we're letting go of the things we want to hold on to, that we bring. So yes, it's big, and yet it's also so simple, isn't it? Taking God on his word, believing that when he says, he who comes, I will never cast out. When he says, he who confesses his sin, I will forgive, then he will. And he always has done, he has always kept his promises. So Jesus feels compassion and he speaks hope. And then he acts in power. He stretched out his hand and touched the man. Immediately, the leprosy left him. And he was cleansed. He touched him. This is the very thing that no one else would do. He reached out and touched him. This man had infectious skin disease. You don't reach out and touch somebody if you don't want to get that disease. They all backed away. This man will infect me. I will be stained. I will have to isolate. I will be shunned. Jesus moves towards him. He reaches out. Isn't that precious? And something amazing happens. You see, the reason they didn't want to, I say they, anybody else really, didn't want to come to this man and touch him, is because they would be infected. And yet what happens here is the opposite, isn't it? As Jesus touches this man, cleanness spreads from Jesus. That's not how it works. And yet it does when it's Jesus. Sin's curse is being rolled back. Cleanness and life spreads from Jesus to him. Imagine if that were the case with us. You've perhaps had the experience of children returning from a camp and they're smelly and they've got bags of dirty washing. The camp I used to go on, there wasn't a shower, so we literally wouldn't have a shower a week. We'd perhaps go in the sea at some point, but you come back smelly. And so the parent welcomes them in, and they give them a hug, it's a pretty quick hug, and then they push them off to the shower. Because I don't really want to spend too long taking hold of you because you're really smelly, and I don't want to end up smelling. Now imagine if that hug transferred cleanness to the child. That week of smelliness, gone. And the clothes clean because somebody clean hugged them. We know that's not how it works with us. But that is what happened here. Think of a touch that could get rid of all cancerous cells in the body. I'm sure a number of you will know something of the pain of cancer. Imagine if there was the touch that could get rid of it all. No more biopsies or chemotherapy, removed in one. Jesus undoes the ravages of sin. And no, he doesn't promise us all that we can be cleansed from our physical illnesses like that. Yes, he can do it, but that's not the big promise. The big promise is that he deals with sin, the heart of it. He gets rid of the roots. Cleanness and life spread from him to those that he touches. And he does that for every sinner who comes hungry to him. He deals with their sin. We sang that song, I'll refer back to it again, that talks about when death gives way to victory. Jesus' promise to us is not a healing and a cleansing just for now. No, his promise is that even if we are not healed and cleansed from physical things now, death gives way to victory. It's the long term, it's the lasting thing, the eternal thing that he does for us, the big thing, the thing that matters most. But for this man, immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Jesus was willing and he was able, and so it is done. He doesn't just have the compassion, he has the power. He is the Almighty Son of God. So the man was right, wasn't he? If you are willing, you can make me clean. He was absolutely right, and Jesus did. Think what a big thing it is to remove sin. The sacrifice for a leper's cleansing reminds us of this, doesn't it? The leper comes and they need to make a sacrifice. Sacrifice to remove guilt. Blood was sprinkled to cleanse. That was happening in the temple worship all the time. Washings, washings, washings. The priests come to their duty and they wash. Constant washings, constant sprinkling with blood. Sin is a big, big problem that needs a big solution. And yet Jesus removes it with a word and a touch. When we come in faith, it is done. How is it done? Well, as we think about that, of course, in one sense, Jesus was infected by this man's uncleanness, wasn't he? Because Jesus became sin for us. He was infected by our sin, our disease of heart, our rebellion, our disobedience. He took it on himself. He became sin for us. He didn't just have the list of our sins attached to him, if you like. He became sin for us. He became the sinner on the cross. This wonderful truth that Scripture teaches us, when we trust Jesus, we are included in him. We become one with Christ. We don't just get given his credentials as such. We are included with him. So we died with him in a very real way. We rise with him. His life is ours. And so he became the sinner in our place when he was on the cross. He was the untouchable one. He was the outcast. He was the sacrifice. His bloodshed. And so as he paid the great price, he says, I am willing. Be clean. He had the desire and the power to heal, to cleanse. And he still does today for every sinner who comes to him. Have you come to Jesus? You can come today if you have not. And he says, I will be clean. Just don't come with anything of your own to offer. I plead with you, don't try and bring something yourself. Just come with your uncleanness and a broken heart. Will Jesus help you? Yes. Yes. Always yes. His heart is for the repenting sinner. And Christian, We still need to come in repentance, don't we, day by day? But his heart is for you. He is so gracious, he is so kind. He has dealt with your sin. Will you come? Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this lovely, beautiful picture that we see of his heart, of your heart. And we thank you for that grace and that willingness. And we ask for broken hearts so that we might come and receive your grace. If we've never come, please turn our heart to you now. If we are believers, please keep bringing us back to that place of humble repentance and joy in your grace and your compassion to us. We thank you for what Jesus did. We ask that you would make that effective for each of us. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, our last song, I think, is on the over projector. What kind of love is this that gave itself for me? We're going to sing of God's mercy in welcoming sinners. God's mercy, what Jesus did for us. Face to shine upon you and bring you peace. Amen. Amen.